that are happening. And if I just focused on that, fear could come. And doubt could come. It's like, God, how is this all happening when I see, you know, you're supposed to be showing up and things are supposed to be turning around. And here's the reality. God knows the end from the beginning. He sees everything in advance. That's one thing it's like with us. We are limited by time and space. So you and I, you know, live in this little realm that's called time and space. But He's outside of that. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. Because He's already seen it. And that's true with what's going to happen in the world. And in these chapters, it talks about Gog and Magog and them coming down to invade and take over Israel and kick him out, right? How many know He's not going to allow that to happen? Yes. We're living in the day where God has established the land of Israel, right? And just a little caveat, I see, and even people that I love, that I know, that say, well, we stand for Palestine. Now, if you're saying that you stand for the people of Palestine, okay. But the reality is, if you're standing against Israel, you're in trouble. Because He said He'd bless those who blessed Israel, right? And if you're against Israel, you're in trouble, right? No matter what it looks like, no matter what, you know, God's hand has been, if you know the modern history of Israel, the fact that they're still in existence is incredible. I mean, during all the wars where Egypt and everybody was coming against them, and they were going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And here's this little country standing up to them like David and Goliath. Yeah. And I'll just tell you this one story because it's just so cool. There was tanks coming from Egypt, and they were coming to come into Israel. And it just looked like an overwhelming force. And here's these Israeli soldiers, and they're up on a little mountain pass, and they're looking, and there's not many of them compared to what's coming. And so the tanks start rolling in, and all of a sudden they stop. They get out of their tanks and start running backwards. These Israeli soldiers are going, huh? We thought we were going to be destroyed. What happened here? And later, after, you know, a few years later, those soldiers from Egypt that were in those tanks were interviewed. And they said, we got up there and behind those hills, there were huge angelic beings with swords drawn. And we knew that if we went one step forward, we'd be cooked. Right, right. Why do I bring that story up? Because when you're watching the news, when you're watching everything that's going on, know this. The King of Glory is going to stand up at one point, and He is going to determine the outcome of the War of Wars. He's not looking for the United States to help. He's not looking for the strength of Israel to help. He's going to do it. Look at with me now. Ezekiel 38 and verse 23. He's just talked about hail and brimstone and everything. But listen to this verse. He says, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am the Lord. He said, I'm going to magnify myself. Well, you see, I believe He wants to do that not just in the Middle East. He wants to do that in your life. He wants to show up when everybody's against you. He wants to show up when the doctors are saying there's no use. He wants to show up when the banker says you're going under. He wants to show up. And if you'll allow His glory to be seen in you, He'll magnify His name through your testimony. Anybody in here have a testimony, right? God has done something that was impossible before, but it happened. It's come to pass. His glory wants to be in us so that His name can be magnified through us. Hallelujah. Renita and I were down in Quinault for a few days, and we had a meeting the other night, and God just moved, and He, you know, as we were praying over everybody, He gave us words, and it seemed like everybody, you know, we'd say some stuff, and it was just, the reactions were just incredible. And you think, well, oh man, how did you do that? We didn't do a thing. Let me just tell you one, and some of you will catch the reference to it, others won't. But I said, you know, I was praying over this man, and I said, you know, you may not get this reference, but I just feel compelled to say it. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. And that's a reference to offer, but it was really a reference back in the day when the Sonics won the championship, and Lenny Wilkins said, you know, it's not over, even though they were down. It's not over until the opera lady gets up to sing. And the point was, is that God's not through with you. God's not through with you. Why? Because if He's spoken things to you, He will bring it to pass. Are you listening to me? It's not over until God's Word says it's over. It's not done until God says it's done. It might look overwhelming. It might look like nothing can transpire. It might look like you're going under. It might look like the devil has won. But if you'll keep the Word of God on your mouth and coming out of your lips, and you'll keep looking to the God who is more than enough for anything that you're, you know, involved with, He will get the glory and He will be magnified through your story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did that happen? Well, it was the grace of God. Just the grace of God. I want you to know. I love when David said, you know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. You have Christians worried about the mark of the beast. Christians worried about buying and selling, all of that stuff. Listen, don't worry about any of that, because God has your back. You've read in the Word, you've seen where He's, you know, fed people with manna coming out of the sky. He's taking care of things, and He's going to take care of you. I said, He's going to take care of you. It doesn't mean that we don't need to be wise. It doesn't mean that we don't do practical things. But at the end of the day, it's Him. It's Him. You know, is anybody ever worried about your 401k? Anybody worried about what's going to happen with, you know, I quit working and I don't have any more money. Blah, 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 blah. What's going to happen? He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said He'd supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. He wants to make you a testimony so that He can be magnified not only to believers but to unbelievers. Oh, come on, Lord. We're willing. We want that to happen. Look at the next chapter, chapter 39. And we're going to start out in verse 21. This is God speaking now. Listen to, and this is in the middle of the battle, but I want you to see this, that it's in the middle of you. It's in the middle of your life. I will set My glory among the nations. All the nations shall see My judgments which I have executed, and My hand which I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord the God from that day forward. And the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity,
because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hands of their enemies, and they fell by the sword. Did you know that this happened? But we're seeing the fact that Israel is now coming back into the land. Right? In 1948, they came back to the land, and they're repopulating the land. And I believe the pressure that's on the whole world right now is going to force more of God's people back to the land. But here's what I've been praying. They've come back to the land, but they haven't necessarily come back to God. Israel is a very secular nation. But even this event that has happened in the last few weeks has brought them back to the place where maybe there is a God. Maybe we need His help. Right? Ultimately, it's going to bring them back to the fact that Jesus is their Messiah. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the one they've been waiting for. He's their champion. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 23, the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity. 24, according to their uncleanliness, according to their transgression, I have dealt with them and have hidden my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captivities of Jacob, and I will have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. You are living in a time where this is being fulfilled. He said, I'm going to restore and renew the covenant that I had with them. And even though they're scattered throughout the whole earth, even though they don't all even speak the same language anymore, I'm going to bring them back. And we have witnessed that. Amazing. They have plane loads after plane loads coming back into Israel from places like Russia, places like Africa, all over the world. They're coming back to the land. Why? Because that is the land of promise that God set forth to Abraham many years ago. You know, we talk about the boundaries and the political things. Well, this one belongs to this nation and that one belongs to that nation. I'll tell you the boundaries. They were set forth in Genesis when God spoke to Abraham and He said, from this place to that place shall be yours. From that place to that place shall be yours. Those are the boundaries. And those are the boundaries that will be set forth for eternity in Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And He's going to get the glory. Hallelujah. Again, I'm going to read verse 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captivity of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name. He's put His name on it. And after they have borne their shame and all the unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land and have no one made them afraid, when I brought them back from the peoples and gathered them together in the enemy's land and have hallowed them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nation, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I have poured out of my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. We live in a time where God is going to show up big. Let me say that again. God is going to show up, and it's not necessarily going to be at the hand of man, but He's going to show up and fulfill the promises that He's made. That's true of Israel, but I want you to know that's true of you too. The minute that you gave Jesus the Lord, to ask Him to be Lord of your life, you entered into a covenant. In fact, we're going to have communion in a minute, and that meal, that covenant meal of communion, is to solidify that what Jesus said is true for me. Right. This is the covenant. Right.
Covenant is an agreement that is settled between two parties. And did you know that the covenant that we operate in the New Testament is based on two people, but it's not you and God. It's the Father and the Son. And it's our faith in the Son that opens the door for us to enter into the covenant. Are you listening to me? What am I saying? I'm saying that if you're born again, you are in covenant with God. And God is going to show up big in your life. He wants you to know His glory. What does that mean? He wants you to know when He shows up, how He shows up, where He shows up. But He's showing up. Let me say that again. He's showing up. He's showing up for you, in you. Come on. For His church. For His people. He is showing up. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians in the first chapter. These prayers that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, I believe he's praying over us today. And what I'm praying, what I'm asking God to do is to start to wake you up to a different reality than what you just see or feel or touch or taste. There's more to life than what you see. More to life than what you feel. There's a greater presence in your life than what you've experienced. Verse 17 says this. No, let's go back to 15. I'm going to even go back further. No, let's go to 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Who does that apply to? Any believer, anybody that's made Jesus the Lord of your life. So look at when I'm reading this. In Him, in Jesus, I've obtained an inheritance. Let me say that again. I have an inheritance. And it involves so much, but I've inherited something from the Father. Oh, that's so powerful. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Think about that for just a minute. When you got saved, all of heaven went, "Woo! Glory to God. Look what God has done. How could Bruce have gotten saved? Did you know Him before? Look what the Lord has done. Woo! Glory to God. You are the praise of His glory." What does that mean? There's one verse that says, all of creation and all of eternity, His grace is going to be displayed. And that grace being displayed is what He did in you. You're His trophy. I said, you're His trophy. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, sometimes we are trying to witness to people and trying to make it difficult when really it's simple. Yes. The simple gospel. Yes. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can make it by our own. But here's the good news. Jesus died in your place. He took your sin, and all who believe in Him will be saved. Jesus loves you, and all you have to do is yield yourself to Him. Come to Him. Give your heart to Him. Accept what He's done for you. All I did to get saved was say, "Jesus, be Lord of my life. I give You the rest of my life." And He did. I said, He did. He did. And you know what that equaled? The praise of His glory. Glory to God. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner is brought to repentance. Whew, glory to God. I don't think God gets excited when somebody gets healed of cancer. I mean, it's good, and that's part of the provision. I don't think God gets that excited, although, you know, it's a testimony of when He pays off your bills. But when one person gets saved, glory to God. Glory to God. The price that I paid has been cashed in. It's one more for my kingdom. Therefore, verse 15, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. I want to know you more. He wants it more. Let me say that again. I want to know God. He wants you to know Him better than, you know, more than you want to know Him. I pray that He'd give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Why? Because when you get to know Him, you can introduce Him. When you get to know Him, you can pray for people according to His will. When you get to know Him, right, you can brag on Him. Watch this. But it's all His glory revealed in you. And you giving testimony of it, it lets the nations see the work of His glory. I pray that He'd give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What's He saying? I want you to know what Jesus purchased for you on the cross. And the moment that you by faith came into the kingdom, you got that inheritance. But I need you to know it. Why? Because if you don't know it, you won't share it. If you don't know it, you won't live in it. If you don't know it, you won't act in it. And if you're not acting in it, then the glory of God is stuffed into your body, not being allowed to come out because your faith hasn't mixed with what He's done. That's right. So what do I mean? I've prayed for people when I felt nothing. I've talked to people when I was shaking doing it. But here's what I know. I believe that when I open my mouth, He fills it. I believe that when I'm laying hands on people in the name of Jesus, it's no longer just me there occupying that space, but it's the glory of God that's part of my inheritance that is being used by God through me to touch somebody else. And sometimes I don't feel a thing. Sometimes I don't sense a thing. But I can never, ever, ever doubt that God's glory wants to be revealed through us so that people might know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that they have the opportunity to come into the kingdom. I have made these statements and I'm now repenting of them. It's, Lord, this generation, I don't know how to reach them. These people are so into themselves, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and how can I reach these people? They seem to have heard the gospel before and it's fallen on deaf ears. I need to come back to the fact that when I open my mouth, the Spirit of God flows through me, and the Spirit of God knows what's in the heart of a person, and He can tell you things to speak to somebody that don't make sense to you, but they make sense to the person that you're speaking to. Come on. And what is that? That's the glory of God that's residing on the inside of you. And then when the actions happen, when people's lives are changed, when somebody's introduced to Jesus, then all the glory, the credit, the honor goes back to the one who has just used you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to live our lives for ourselves anymore. We've got to get over the pain other people have caused us. Just give it to Him. Say, Lord, I'm no longer living for myself, by myself, but I'm now living for You. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you listening to me?
Hallelujah.
He wants you to know who you are and what He's done for you. All right, I've got to close. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 says this: For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that God, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to His glorious power, with all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and He's delivered us from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Oh, I could just go on and on and on and on. You have a redemption because God's presence came to you by the Holy Spirit through somebody else. God witnessed to you through the words of another human being. Are you listening to me? But God wants you to begin to understand that His glory is in you. And He's waiting for you to let it out. Look for opportunities. I'm just going to share one thing, and then we're going to have communion. I don't know if the kids need to come in or whatever, but we're going to do communion. But watch this. How many get those robocalls on the phone? Right? The ones you don't even answer, spam calling, click. Well, I've just decided every once in a while I'm going to answer those. And I love it. Well, this is George from... This isn't George. What's your real name? Right? Because they're calling from another country somewhere. And I'll stop them. I'll listen to it for just a minute and I'll say, just a minute, I need to tell you something. And in some way, I'll talk to them about Jesus. Well, what good does that do? Seed. It's seed. It's seed. I had one guy, he said, we were talking, I think he was Hindu or something. He said, well, I know about Jesus. He said, but I don't believe in Him like you do. I said, well, not yet. Not yet, but He caused me to speak to you today. So He's revealing Himself to you. Is that crazy? I don't think it's crazy. I think we have to become aware that God wants to use you. And you're not too young, you're not too old, you're not too anything, because His grace is in you.
Amen.
Amen. Did you get anything this morning? I want you to use this, right? Because watch this. I think these pews would look really good full. Don't you? Don't you think this would be nice where we're worshiping God and this place is just cramped, packed, full? We have to open the back up and... Yeah. And again, not so that we can say, boy, we've got this many coming to our church. But no, this many have been impacted for the kingdom by the Spirit of God that resides on the inside of us. So this one can get delivered. This one can be healed. This one can be set free from the torment that the devil has had them in. And this one, come on, we need to start believing in the God in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Is there anybody in here who did not receive the elements when you walked in? Scott's got them in the back. Just raise your hand real big and he'll make sure that you get them. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and are the kids coming in? Yeah, here they come. All right. Scott, make sure they all have them. This is really interesting to me. Chapter 11 is Paul talking about communion, but he's not talking it with the standpoint that, hey, I'm glad you guys are all taking communion. In fact, he's in the middle of chewing them out about their attitude of taking communion. In chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 17 says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. In part, I believe it. There must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. One is hungry, another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? Shall I say this to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." In other words, when we come together for the communion and we take these elements, it's not just a once a month thing that we do. But what we're doing is that we're saying that we're all in this together. And our common bond is what Jesus did for us. And I was going through this and preparing for this morning. I read this verse and it kind of struck me. Verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." The apostles didn't teach Paul about communion. No. The Spirit of God and Jesus, when he was alone with God, taught him about the bread and the wine. Why is that so important? Because he knows the holiness of what we're about to do. He knows what it signifies. He knows the covenant that transpired. Yeah. When it says that my body was broken for you, that was something that was holy, impactful, and eternal. Yeah. By his stripes, we are healed. Yeah. So Jesus said, when you do this, and we're going to read that in a minute. He said, when you do this, remember me. When you come together, and if one over here is fighting with one over here, and somebody's mad at somebody else, think about me first. And think, if I've forgiven you, how can you hold anything against anybody else? Why am I doing this? Because I don't want anybody in here to take communion if you have bitterness on your heart. I still want you to take communion, but I want you to get rid of the bitterness. Right? If you feel like, you know, you're at the bottom of you know, the pool, whatever, I need you to get over that and say, no, he died for me. So I forgive all of those who've ever done anything to me, and I present them before the Lord, and I just give them to him in Jesus' name. When I take this and I say, Lord, I am remembering the covenant that you gave to me. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, I am made whole. So if you'll take the elements that you have, and there's a plastic that you peel off, and then there's a little wafer in there, I want you to grab that, okay? And I'm going to say this, and when I say he broke it, go ahead and just snap that with your fingers. It says, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and take the bread. Lord, we just want to honor you today that you took my punishment. You took the stripes on your back and they tore at your flesh and they put a spear in your side. That's all what I deserve, but Lord, you took it. You took it on the cross and my sins were nailed to the cross with you, Lord. And I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it says, in the same manner, he took the cup. And if you guys could figure out how to get the cup open. There you go. Thank you. She has fingernails. I don't. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Go ahead and drink it. We remember, Lord, that you who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that shame no longer has a place for us. We are no longer under condemnation of any kind because of the blood of the covenant. And Lord, that your blood is now the one that was presented before God to make me holy, to make me righteous. And Lord, I'm just humbled in that, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. And I thank you for your forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. If there's anybody in this place or watching online that has never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're not in covenant with him, but you can be. It's simple, but it costs you everything. So, Lord, I'm no longer a master of my life. I'm no longer in charge of my life. There's no way I can get what I need from God by myself. I need a Savior. And you've proven to me, Lord, through your word, that Jesus was that Savior. So right now I believe in my heart, and I'm just saying with my mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and that God, you raised him from the dead. And with your help, to the best of my ability, from this day forward, I will walk with you. And he is able to sustain you. He is able to keep you. He is able to take care of you. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. If I could have the worship team come up, we're just going to end with a song like we normally do. But if you need prayer this morning for anything, if you've never been filled with the Spirit and received your prayer language, that's available to you. If you need healing in your body, maybe you're struggling with a financial need. Maybe you have, you know, God, I just need to hear from you today. We just want to come in agreement with you and let God do what He does. Amen? Hallelujah. But let's worship Him together. Let's begin to give Him honor together. And Lord, we thank You for the covenant that You've struck with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We love You, Lord. Come on. We love You, Lord.